You'll note at the top of our bulletin today that this is Trinity Sunday, a day in which the life of our church, we commemorate and remember that God in that great holy mystery is one and three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in a way that we cannot fathom, understand, or in just plain old common sense, make sense of. God can't be contained, it seems, in our small mind, in all the greatness of glory. But on this special day, we remember and we recognize and we state that the Trinity of our God is essential to our oneness as the church and as individuals. In other ways, or in other words, we need every aspect of God's life in our life for us to know fullness as His people. We celebrate the fatherly nature, and isn't that appropriate that we do that on this day of Father's Day? As we've sang the song, the faith of our fathers, those who passed down into us, the forebearers who led us and proclaimed to us since our birth for many of us as we've grown in the church and in our faith, the love and example of our Heavenly Father. That's where it begins for us, it seems, especially as we hear in this reading from the psalmist, where David considers in his very first words, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic, how holy, how grand you are, yet you consider us worthy of being your people, and yes, I would say, of being your children. You see, that's the story of the Father, of the Trinity. That God in the great majesty and creator chose not only to make us and then leave us alone, but God chose to love us and claim us as His own. To claim us as children, that we may call Him Father. The intimate, affectionate relationship between a creation and a creator. We celebrate that on Trinity Sunday and every day in the life of the church and in our ministry as His people. In the Great Commission, some of us are familiar with that call, that commissioning, that charge, it seems, in Scripture. To go forth. We know those words, some of us by heart. In Matthew 28, where Jesus proclaimed to His disciples, just as He was leaving His earthly ministry, He said, go therefore, right? We know those words. And make disciples of where? Of all nations. Wow, what a commission. What a charge. What a trust God has into us that we would be commissioned as His holy officers, His givers of grace to go where? To go everywhere and love on the world in the name of the Lord. You know what I've often overlooked, though, is that that commission is not so much something we have to do, something we're called to do, something that we give, as it is as well something we receive. You know what helped me to see that word differently? When I went back into secular work in St. Louis, we did that for several years of our life in 2004 through 2008. I was working back again in the construction industry, but I was in sales. I sold stuff. I sold heavy equipment. And that word commission, it took on a new meaning for me and my family. You know, so often I thought of in the scriptural sense, in the faith-building sense, as something I had to do. Well, Manya, my wife, taught me to understand that that commission was a good word. wasn't something that I had to do. It was something that I got. It was something extra. A commission was something I received for doing a good job. It was a gift to our family and to my life. How about that, church? What if we view the call of faith, the call of practice of being the hands and feet and voice of Jesus to a broken world as a gift of something extra into our life? Wow. It's a renewal of our marriage, of our life, of our church, of our family, of our faith, yes. When we practice doing and being Jesus to the world, we are filled and renewed as His people. So the commission, yes, it's the good news of practicing that. But I read in our text this morning in the Great Commission Scripture, I heard it in a way with fresh ears perhaps that I'd never before when I considered it on this Trinity Sunday. Hear with me again those familiar words where Jesus says, I call you to go make disciples of all nations. And yes, we know those words, baptize them. And how do we baptize them though? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus, even in that commission, reminds us that we need all three in our life and in our church. It takes the complete nature of God to make us complete as His people. We hear that charge. Some people would call it a charge or a blessing of the Apostle Paul in Holy Scripture. You know those words. We read them this morning in our call to worship. Sometimes we end worship with these words. This day we began worship with these words, where he says that triune nature, he defines it. Have you ever heard those words in this way as a definition of who God is in the three persons in one? He says here, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gift of God given to us. Grace, the free gift. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then what? The love of God the Father. The free gift of grace, the enduring love of a heavenly parent. And yes, finally, the communion or fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The presence of God with us. You see the beauty of God being present with us through grace, through love, and through fellowship and presence in our life. What a symbol of holy relationships. Don't we need all of those in our human relationships? We need love. We need to know that we're special. Well, just because we're special. Not because of anything we've done or who we are, but because of whose we are and because of what God has done. We need to know that we receive that grace. Isn't that wonderful in human relationships when we receive a gift that we haven't planned for? Today's Clay's birthday. He's planning for gifts, right? You're expecting them, Clay. He wants them. That's the way Noah was yesterday, my son. It was his birthday. He expected gifts. He wanted them. But what about when we get those gifts that are unexpected? Those gifts of grace into our life, aren't they in some ways even more precious? Yes, we fathers today, we expect and we want to be praised in some way and told how good we are in other ways and loved and adored. How about that? Little Luke Hill told me a few weeks ago. I could tell he was preparing ahead of time. It made me feel good and warm inside. He'd been wanting a batting cage to improve his baseball. He's planning on that for his birthday, you know, later on. He wanted it immediately, but we said, no, we've got to put it off, Luke. So he started preparing for Father's Day a few weeks ago, and I got excited. He said, Dad, I know what you're getting for Father's Day. So a big smile came across my face. I thought he's thinking ahead. He said, you're getting a brand new batting cage. He was taking care of old Dad, wasn't he? But we need it all. We need the gifts of love. Yes, Clay. We need the family love. And we need, as Paul describes in our text, just the presence and fellowship with God in our midst through the Holy Spirit. If we haven't found ourselves at times in our life where we just needed company, we will before we leave this earth. Times that we just want someone to come and they don't have to say anything, but just be there with us. Have you been there? Certainly we know elderly members of our family, of our church, that it just means so much to receive our call or to see our face, not because of what we say, but that we are in their presence and offering fellowship. In the name of a holy God. There's a holiness in being present with each other. In our brokenness, in our sorrow, in our joys, and in our restoration. And God is there in all. You know this psalm that I introduced prior to the reading in the prayer for illumination this morning? I told you it's the first psalm of praise in Scripture. It's quite a famous text as well. You know, it's the only Scripture that has been taken physically to the moon. It made that faithful trip. It still resides there today. Psalm 8. How beautiful and appropriate that these words are the ones that were taken by one of man's greatest accomplishments to visit one of God's greatest creations, the moon. This text speaks of us working together. It speaks of how God made it all. And how we as His people are commissioned to do great things. Do you hear how the psalmist says? He says, when I look at your heavens and your creation, who am I, in other words, the psalmist says, that you would use me to lead your world and be your hands and feet for those who need your grace. We've been called to do greatness. Yes, we as the church and as people of faith have been called to embrace the call of the Great Commission. To go where? To go to the far reaches of the earth. He's entrusted you and me to be His voice, His hands and His feet to change the world. What a commission. To do greatness, to go to the moon and beyond. In our faith, in our lives. That's what we can do. And yes, called to do. But in our commission, may we never forget that it begins and ends, in the words of our psalm, not in what we do, but in what's been done for us. It begins with God. We can do greatness, church. As a people of faith, as a family, as a business, as a school. We can change the world, but only if we first and foremost surrender and cling to the triune nature of our God that meets every need in our life. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Amen.